that will cause an internal flaw that will destroy from within, not without. The other destruction that can come in chapter 2, verse 6, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away his punishment because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Do you notice that it's not just talking about righteousness, because that would have been covered in keeping the law, etc. But you notice what it's exchanged for. The righteous for gold and the poor for a pair of sandals. What is it talking about? Greed. Covetousness, worldliness, materialism. So the second warning that he gives, which was to the Israelites, a judgment pronounced on them, it has a principle talking about the second area of opposition from without, worldliness in the church. When the spirit of the world creeps into the church, and we deem that it's more important to covet after the things of this world, we will begin to go off track. Jesus said that you're in the world but not of the world. When we are in the world and of the world, we are finished. We are in the world but not of the world, Jesus said. Our nature is not of the world. We can be in the world, but we learn how to separate ourselves and how to set our mind on things above, as Colossians exhort us, and not on things below. So these are the two areas that can defeat from within. And that's the lesson that we learn from chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now in chapter 3, as he pronounced all these woes, remember in chapter 1 verse 1, that Amos lived during the time of Uzziah, and it was 2 years before the earthquake. What earthquake? Amos actually, in certain sentences here and there, although he did not directly refer to it, actually when he was talking later about houses breaking down suddenly, destruction coming, etc., he was prophesying a coming earthquake. It took place 2 years after this message of Amos. And it must have been a terrible earthquake that occurred in the time of King Uzziah, for Zechariah the prophet also referred back to it in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5. When he talked about how Jesus coming and landing on the earth in his official second coming to the Jews will shake the whole of the Mount of Olives in Israel, likened unto the earthquake that occurred in the days of the king of King Uzziah. That is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5. So here is a prophet, and as we saw in earlier prophecies about how events are tied to prophecy, even famine, as we describe here, are tremendous. Now we see in chapter 3, the three messages, each one has a here and each one has a therefore. The first message, the here, is in verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. The therefore occurs in verse 11. The therefore occurs in verse 11. The second one, the here, is in verse 1 of chapter 4. And the therefore occurs in chapter 12. The third message is in chapter 5, verse 1, the here. And then in verse 16 onwards, the therefore starts coming. Therefore, all these things will happen. Now, if you examine each one of these therefore and each one of the hear the word of the Lord, there is a progression of judgment that the Lord pronounced upon them. There is a progression of judgment. Just like in chapter 7, there is also a progression. Well, just peep at chapter 7 so that we can refer back to the to chapter 3. Look at chapter 7 verse 1 and to verse 3. It says, thus the Lord showed me, behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was a late crop after the king's mowings. So it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, Lord God, forgive, I pray, oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. And then the Lord relented concerning this and said, it shall not be, says the Lord. In other words, the Lord would not allow the judgment to come because there was an intercessor in the first vision. You see how the Lord tries to prevent from coming. He looks for an intercessor. But then, when he saw the second vision in verse 4, where the judgment is going to come, and then in verse 5, I say, O Lord, cease, I pray. O that Jacob may stand. Then, verse 6, the Lord relented concerning this, and this also shall not be. So he also holds it back. And then, in chapter 7, he shows a third vision. And there was no intercession. It showed that it was too late. And in chapter 8 and chapter 9, there was a pronunciation of judgment. Now it's too late. Why too late? Because Amos himself did not have a chance to intercede, because straight away on the spot in verse 10, he was accused of false prophecy and conspiracy. And the judgment did come. So, we realize there's a progression. God tries to save. God tries to deliver as much as possible. But where there is insufficient prayer warriors, where the judgment or the sin has reached a point where judgment must come for God to show forth His righteousness, it gets worse and worse. So there is a progression in the vision side, and we will see a progression also in chapter 3 to chapter 6. You notice in chapter 3, as he pronounced the word of the Lord, all this in judgment, and he talks about his people, and these are some of the words that the Lord said in verse 11. We consider the therefore. After he said all those things in very picturesque form, with a very beautiful verse in verse 7, then we see in verse 11 the therefore. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered. Now notice what the Lord is saying here to the nation of Israel. He said, because of what they have done, because of their sin against God, the first discourse talk about what begins to happen. He says that you will be surrounded by all your enemies and with difficulty, and your strength will be taken from you, and the very area, the central area of your pride, and the area of your palaces will be destroyed. And this is what the Lord was saying to the Israelites. Notice the first thing, there is a progression in each one of these three discourses. The first discourse tells you of difficult times. Times when there is not enough strength. Times when as you turn to the left, there is difficulty. You turn to the left, there is difficulty. Turn to the right, there is difficulty. You turn to the back, there is difficulty. You turn to the front, there is difficulty. Difficulty confronts you. Now we're going to examine it very carefully so that we have a correct perspective and theology on this. When we begin to go off track in God, one of the first things that you would notice, it doesn't come near you yet, but there is difficulty. To whichever direction you turn, to everything you try to lay your hands on, when you're not walking right with God, it is difficult. The work of your hands does not prosper. You lack strength to do something. See, it applies to a nation, it applies to the individual. But this is only half of the picture. It's not the full picture yet. We'll tell you why. The reason is, those who walk with the Lord also may face difficulty. So what is the difference? Right? We'll talk the difference, show the difference afterwards. But we want to let you know that it does not mean that when you're walking correctly, there is no difficulty. Otherwise, Paul will be out of God's will. Look at some of the things he went through. It's amazing. He says he lacks sleep. He says he had difficult times. He says he had oppositions. And all those things that are listed in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. He had a difficult time in verse 23. He says, He has stripes more abundant, prisons more often, deaths more often, many times nearly died. Verse 24, 5 times on the Jews I received 40 stripes minus 1. I wonder why must minus 1. Some scholars said that because 40 stripes kill a man, so they give 39 to give you almost dead. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rod, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, perils in the kampong, perils everywhere. In weariness and in toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting, in cold, in nakedness. I mean, look, isn't he having a good time? If we just read that portion, it looks like he was out of God's will. The reason I quickly share on this side is because in case some of you begin to thinking, or some of you may have to catch a train or catch a bus and leave my message halfway or something, and you'll say that, oh, when you're in God's will, there's no difficulty. No, that's not what we want you to think. But generally speaking, when you're in the will of God, things do flow. See, we have only one picture. There are three pictures, three discourses. Sometimes we cannot hear God on the inside. Or we may hear God sometimes, but not hear God all the time. And then we may miss hearing God in our life. One of the first things that do happen is that you begin to lack strength. Your strength is set. And there is difficulty all around. Why do we say that? Even though we know 2 Corinthians 11 over that side. Yet let's look at it and examine this side with the scriptures. The Bible said that all the work of your hands will prosper. Does it mean that things will work out? It does. Psalms 8, Deuteronomy 28. Psalm chapter 1 tells us that you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And all the work, all that you do, all that your hands do, will prosper. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 14 tells you that you will be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the country. You'll be blessed everywhere. God's blessings will pour upon you, and the favor of God will come upon your life everywhere you go. So there will be favor. Now notice this. Joseph had a difficult time. But wherever Joseph went, he had favor. Although it was difficult, yet God was there to make it easy. So there you are able to harmonize both sides. That there is a difference between the kind of difficulty people face when they are out of God's will and the difficulty you face, or rather the challenges you face when you're in God's will. There is a difference. But we'll consider that in the third discourse. Now, in the first one, we're going to consider what are the signs that we need to pay attention quickly when we begin to be difficult. When we begin to go out of God's will. That is, circumstances don't seem to work out. Things doesn't seem to flow. You lack the strength. You are surrounded. God says, therefore, you're surrounded. Then in the second discourse, although he addresses the cows of Bashan, in chapter 4, verse 1, you look at how many times he repeats certain phrases. In verse 6, I will give you cleanness of teeth in your city. In other words, a lack to eat, a lack of bread. Yet ye have not returned to me. Verse 7, I withheld rain, there is drought, and yet they didn't return to him. And verse 9, I blasted you with blight and mildew, and all those things the locusts devoured, yet you didn't return to me. Verse 10, a plague came, yet they didn't return to him. Verse 11, I overthrew some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, yet you didn't return to me. Notice the word, yet you didn't return, yet you didn't return, yet you didn't return. What's happening in the second discourse here? He's saying that the first is difficulty, the second becomes lack. Lack of food, lack of provision. It began to run into the what the Bible calls the curse of the